From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of September 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We'll take a quick look at the agricultural news and hear about the weather forecast. Mike Tenor will be here for that. He's from T-Storm in Chicago, Illinois. And then as we close out our time together, Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will join us to take a look at the cash grain situation down on the farm. He is in Windsor, Illinois, and we'll do it all right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn for the day, a penny and three quarters lower, $3.72 and a half a bushel. The March at 384 and three quarters lower. And the May down three quarters at 392 and a quarter. July off a penny, 397 and a half. The settlement price there in December at 404 and a quarter down a half. November beans, three quarters higher at $8.88 and a half. January, 902 and three quarters, a half lower. And the March unchanged at 915. May contract, three quarters higher at 925 and a half. And next year's November soybeans. Beans, $9.44 for the 2020 contract, up a penny and a half. Bean oil futures, 3 cents lower. The bean meal on the day down $2.40. Wheat futures, soft red, up seven, 484 and a quarter. The settlement price there in the December, July at 498 and a half, up five and a half. And the hard red July at $4.40 and a half, up 3 and a quarter cents. Spring wheat, by the way, December down five and a half at 548 and three quarters. Live cattle futures. Futures October, nickel lower at 102.95, December at 108.75, up 25 cents. September feeders, 7.5 lower at 141.50, October 65 higher at $143.10. And the lean hogs on the day, the October contract, 35 cents lower at $64.22.5. Crude oil about 4 cents lower on the day for a barrel. Ethanol futures a penny and 0.3 cents higher. Heating oil about unchanged, and gasoline up 3 cents. Natural gas down 0.9 cents. Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace and what's happened today and over the last week or so. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. I hear it's really hot down where you are in Waco.
Yeah, we're still upper 90s. We got 98, but I think looking at the maps, it looks like maybe the end of next week we could see some cooler temperatures. We're definitely ready. I never thought I'd be ready for the furnace to come on, but I tell you what, I am ready. I'm ready for some cooler temperatures than the furnace. The air conditioners are running 24/7. I can tell you that. It's hot down here.
Yeah, I believe if you wanted cooler temperatures, you could have gone to the northwestern Corn Belt and found a 39-degree temperature earlier today.
Ooh.
So you could travel up into the Dakotas. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and well, it's getting that time of year where, you know, a frost could occur. Whether or not one does, that remains to be seen. But we are, it's kind of amazing that next Tuesday is going to be October 1st already. So, you know, it's time at least for the upper Corn Belt to be at least on frost alert anyway, based upon seasonalities anyway.
Yeah, so as you think about this marketplace, because it's so late with the crop, where do we stand as it relates to the fall and price and movement of cash grain?
Well, I mean, even with today's loss in corn, we're still like a penny or so higher for the month. So for the month here, you know, going into Monday's report, and who knows what Monday's report will say, I think the trade kind of feels that Monday's report is more likely to be bearish than probably friendly. And you get price action now here, you know, going into Monday's report or the end of the quarter. We're not only end of the month, end of the quarter. So you get some distortions, you get some spread and winding. And I assume that's what we're maybe seeing a little bit with corn down, wheat up a little bit. We're seeing some unwinding of that spread. Beans was higher earlier. We still closed a little higher, but we kind of lost a lot of its momentum. So I think you're getting a lot of liquidation, position squaring, going into Monday's report. Now, the trade has just grown accustomed to not having much confidence in USA's reports. And I think that's why you're seeing people kind of clear the deck. They just don't have a lot of confidence in what USA is going to throw at them. So we're just going to take a wait and see attitude until Monday comes. But, when you think about the season, I mean, like you mentioned, it is early and there's not a lot of harvest going on in the Upper Corn Belt. So USDA's stocks numbers here, based upon September 1, should be fairly accurate. I mean, because we don't have any of that mixing of old crop and new crop and all that that you get many times, when you have an early harvest, and especially when you get into harvest in the Mid-South. I'm not even sure they're harvesting in the Mid-South. So we should have a pretty good September 1 number. Unfortunately, this good September 1 number may get all messed up by not having a very good December 1st number, because December 1st, the way things are going, we're going to see a lot of harvest activity going on in many places, maybe come December 1st. So trying to track what kind of stocks we have on hand on December 1st versus what's out in the field, versus in the farmer's bin, was maybe in the grain elevator, may be muddled some. So it may be hard for USDA to back out of their statistics that they have to come up with a good solid production number and yield number. We'll see what harvest activity is come December 1, but we may not get some good numbers until we're halfway through the marketing year, and that means we may not see some solid numbers on what supply really is and demand, what really demand is, maybe until we get into that March 31st number, and that'd be halfway through the marketing season. So that's what I see the difficulty here. But seasonality, the fact that beans are probably going to close out the month higher unless we get a curveball on Monday. Corn, most of the bearishness may be worked in, so the market still may end up closing the month of September unchanged to slightly higher. Wheat is in the position to have a monthly reversal to the upside, whereas soybeans, a monthly reversal. Corn could have a monthly reversal if we could catch a short covering wave here tomorrow and maybe Monday and not have a damaging report on the supply side. So we could have some positive monthly price action, which says if you're able to kind of close unchanged to higher during the month of September, when September is like 85% of the time you close lower during the month of September. And basically what that is the start of harvest. And you have that seasonal pressure going into the October timeframe. Now, October, many times you have a low kind of posted during the first 10 days of October. And then the seasonal tendencies then begin to turn higher on you. I don't know how that's going to work with this late harvest, but seasonality, as far as anybody that follows the seasonalities, they're going to want to be buyers of corn and soybeans after USDA's report comes out on Monday, just based upon the seasonality that the markets usually post lows during October and then begin to climb higher as we go through the end of the year and on into next spring. The seasonals work this year. We put the seasonals in June, when that's when you normally have seasonal highs anywhere between June 15th and July 15th, depending upon what the weather pattern is. And now we put the highs in this year based upon ideas that we may have a short crop based upon low planting numbers. And of course, USDA's numbers haven't really verified that, at least not in corn's case. We'll see whether or not the seasonal low comes in place during October, and then the markets begin to trend higher as we go on into next spring. Demand for corn doesn't seem to be very good, at least looking at the export sales, but it does look like demand for soybeans is picking up a little bit, and maybe there is something in improved trade prospects as we go down the road, Todd.
What about your cyclical work? What's it telling you, and does it give you any guidepost going forward?
My cyclical points say that the major lows that we put in during May, and then the retest of those lows that we've had recently here, should mean that the overall cyclical pattern should climb higher as we go on into next spring. I can't give you the fundamentals, what's going to do that, but that's the way I would play it. I'd wait on see what USDA is going to throw us on Monday. If they don't throw us any wild curveballs, I guess I'm in the opinion that this market is going to start climbing higher. But it's not going to be a straight up market. It's going to be more of probably watching paint dry, but slowly grind higher as we go on into next spring. And then, of course, we'll be watching South American weather and if there's any kind of adversities going on down there, and whether or not we're going to have a short crop maybe coming out of the Southern Hemisphere. And that would give us a reason anyway for this market to rally into spring. But if we've got 20 million acres of prevent plant corn and still we planted 91 or 92 million, I mean, most people would think that we'll probably plant 100 million acres of corn next year. So it might be hard for new crop corn to rally.
Hey, thanks so much. On that happy note, I suppose, I'll let you go for the afternoon. I appreciate it.
I didn't think I'd live long enough to see 100 million acres of corn planted, but maybe. I did live long enough to see the national average yield go above 100 bushels per acre. I did watch that one go from under 100 to 100, but I didn't think I'd live long enough to see 100 million acres of corn planted, but maybe I will next spring.
Could be. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, we'll just plow through some quick headlines as reported by Politico and other places. House Democrats have been working with the Trump administration's trade team on changes to the new NAFTA deal, otherwise known as the USMCA, and say their negotiations should not be affected by the chamber's impeachment inquiry into the president. W2 Fuel is shuttering a 10 million gallon biodiesel plant in southeast Iowa and another site in Michigan. They're laying off 50 workers total as the industry leaders argue Mr. Trump's small refinery waivers continue to undermine demand for biofuels. Cargill is launching a new unit for animal and human health products. It apparently is part of Cargill's broader reorganization effort, as difficult agricultural and trade conditions have been weighing on profits. And finally, the House of Representatives yesterday easily passed a measure allowing banks to serve cannabis businesses. Republicans have been stonewalling pro-marijuana legislation and now are becoming the industry's most valuable ally in Congress. And that's a quick look at today's Ag News. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast now. Mike Tenora is here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. What a beautiful afternoon it is here in late September. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, it really doesn't get a whole lot nicer than today, that's for sure.
Well, will it stay this way? Because farmers sure would like to get into the field if they can get the crop to begin to mature and dry it down. But part of that is staying dry to begin with. What do you see?
Well, it is going to stay dry if you move to the south and east of Champaign. That's where there's not going to be too much rain over the next 7 to 10 days. But there will be a very sharp dividing line between that dry weather to the south and east and very wet weather to the immediate north. In fact, starting as early as tomorrow afternoon, we'll see a pretty large thunderstorm cluster develop within the northwest third of Illinois and affect that part of the state tomorrow evening as well. So that'll be the first batch of rain. But our larger concern is that we have a number of fairly significant systems that are going to pass this weekend and over the course of next week, and that will produce quite a bit of rain across the northwest two-thirds of the central U.S. So we're talking about 1 to 3 inches of rain for most corn and soybeans to the north and to the west of the Champaign region. So it kind of depends on where you are, but if you're in Iowa, if you're in Minnesota, if you're in the Dakotas, there's quite a bit of rain coming up. And it's just going to turn wetter in these areas before it turns drier.
Will it be cooler as well?
Well, we will see some pretty large temperature fluctuations as we move through next week. And that's not all that uncommon of this time of the year as we move from the summer through the fall and toward the winter. But at this point, the way it looks is like this. We're essentially going to warm up a lot as we move into early next week. And we'll see high temperatures back into the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Across a pretty big chunk of the Corn Belt, and we'll even see record high temperatures. But at the exact same time that that's happening, we're going to see an all-out snowstorm in parts of Alberta and Montana just to the northwest of us. And that very sharp dividing line between cold air and warm air is going to steadily sink southward throughout next week. And that's pretty much the reason that we're going to see a lot of this rain coming up. That real sharp dividing line doesn't break very quickly, it breaks slowly. And as it steadily marches toward the Corn Belt, it'll keep on producing rain until it finally clears us in about a week.
Are you fearful? You said it'll clear us, but are you fearful that there will be persistent rain showers into the month of October?
Well, it looks like everything will start to break up right around a week from now, which is October 3rd. And as we move beyond then, there still should be some showers and thunderstorms around, but it doesn't look as nearly as wet, and it also does look a lot cooler. Now, when we say a lot cooler, you have to keep in mind that the types of temperatures that we're going to see over the next 5 to 7 days are way above normal. So even if we turn a lot cooler with highs only in the 60s and 70s, that's actually pretty close to where it should be for the first week of October, and maybe even a little bit above normal still. So yes, it is going to turn cooler, but in the big picture, it's still pretty close to normal.
What do we know about South America at this time?
Well, South America is mired in drought. There's a drought in a lot of the key areas of Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay. And all of these regions produce a lot of corn, soybeans, and wheat. So we do need rain in Brazil initially to start planting. Planting has been delayed fairly significantly by the lack of rain. And if we go to Argentina, they don't start planting their corn and soybeans for another few weeks. But the wheat crop is sensitive, and that crop is very dry. And there is a little bit of rain coming up for wheat in Argentina Sunday and Monday, but that's really about it. And if this forecast holds, well, then we're going to have a wheat problem in Argentina. You just can't be this dry for this long and only have a little bit of rain coming up over the next 10 to 12 days and expect to get out of it.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll check in with you again next week.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That's Mike Tenuri. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. We're also joined by Matt Bennett today. He is in Windsor, Illinois, and with AgMarket.net. Good afternoon to you, Matt. How are things there on the farm?
All good. We're just getting a good start cutting beans today. There's been several guys out in some beans, probably a little more so in corn, getting some of the early drying deals. But most of those have, I guess, quote-unquote, dried up. So a lot of folks are kind of waiting to get out in the beans. And, you know, I think a lot of the beans are testing here this afternoon. The weather's right, so it's a good day to get started.
What are they testing?
Right at 13, 13 and a half. So, you know, I think that yesterday probably wouldn't have gone, especially the way the weather was. But, you know, the ones that were cutting are testing just right.
Yeah. Did they look that dry?
You know, there's a few green stems out in there and a few pods that we could see here and there. So we definitely wanted to get out in them and do the bite test. And we definitely found that we needed to at least try it today, and then once we got out in them, we were pleasantly surprised by the moisture.
Yeah, so I won't ask you exactly what you're doing there, but are you pleased with them so far?
You know, I think they're pretty good compared to what maybe what I was expecting. I mean, obviously, they're nothing like last year, to be 100% honest, but they're pretty darn good beans, you know, given what they've gone through this year. So I'm assuming that we're going to be anywhere from 10 to 15 bushel off of last year. But of course, last year we were looking at awfully good yields.
Yeah. So you mentioned that there were some drying deals around. Producers had been taking advantage of that to shock some corn. Will they just shut back down at this point then?
Well, that's an interesting dilemma. But I think that most guys, given how good the weather is, are going to try to find something to do. I mean, if you can dry your own, definitely going to get out and, you know, get after it as hard as you can, you know, with how you're limited with your dryer. And then, of course, once the beans are ready, everyone's going to be rolling big guns. But, yeah, I think once guys get started and gals, I think that there's no question they're going to have a hard time slowing down because, as you know, you get this time in the calendar year, sometimes you don't get treated too well by Mother Nature after you get a rain or two.
And speaking of which, I don't know what you're looking at for next week, but it appears that everything north and west of Champaign, according to Mike Tenora, is going to get wet.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we've got the forecast for some moisture, but I certainly hope that none of us get near as much as what they're talking, especially in Iowa and northern Illinois. Right now, it looks like we're in the band to get around an inch of rain, and you know, quite frankly, we could soak that up pretty quick.
Where do you think prices are headed?
You know, that's a good question. I feel like this quarterly stocks report could be an interesting one. I think that there's reason to think that you could have a little bit of a friendly surprise on corn, potentially, just because I felt like that the feed usage number all along was maybe not quite what it should have been, given the kind of winter we had last year, given the kind of basis levels we've seen all year. You know, as far as beans go, I don't think you'll see a big adjustment, maybe lose the 5 million bushel there for exports, getting a pleasant fourth quarter surprise last year. But, you know, right now, I think that price levels are not going to do a whole lot, barring a big surprise next week, you know, until you get this October report come in. And if we don't get anything super exciting there, then I think that you're going to be looking at a really hard time rallying the market substantially.
Do you have a plan for on-farm storage and what to do?
Yeah, there's good carry in the market. And so if nothing else, I think, you know, after you get your contracted bushels delivered, fill up storage, you know, treat your bushels like an elevator does. I'm going to sell the carry in the market. And while basis is awfully good right now, I do think that you might have an opportunity at pretty good basis levels again this year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yep.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in to our Commodity Week program over the weekend on our home station. It's up on Friday afternoon. And of course, you can find it this evening, probably around 6 o'clock, maybe a bit later, at willag.org. willag.org. You can listen to our programming on demand anytime that you would like. One other note, Friday morning, tomorrow at 8 a.m. Central Time on the Farm Doc website, and you can do this right now. Register, please, for the ARC NPLC decision program. That's a webinar that Jonathan Kappas, Gary Schnitke, and Nick Paulson, all ag economists from right here in the Urbana-Champaign campus, University of Illinois College of Aces, will be hosting. That's tomorrow morning, the decision between ARC and PLC. They'll cover it in a webinar. You can register today at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Have a great Thursday afternoon and be safe in the field. I'm Todd Gleason.